Welcome back to another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me. You love me. I am Darkness Tiger, joined by two wonderful co-hosts. First, we have Rad Dreams Review, also known as Mason.
Yo.
And then we have my brother from the same mother. We have iChameleon, also called Chris.
What's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? What has been up in your world? It has been one hell of a week. We'll go ahead. Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, Mason. What has been going on in your world, Mason?
Let's see. What has been going on? Not a whole hell of a lot. Haven't really done a lot of gaming since the last episode. I'm trying to think if I have really gamed. Not really, no. But I have been catching up a lot on shows, mainly in terms of anime. And the one in particular that I wanted to kind of call attention to that maybe some people aren't aware about, but should be, is this show called Frieren, called A Journey's End. It is arguably the best show out right now. And one of my nominations for anime of the entire year, actually. Wow. at the moment, it is arguably in the top. It is in the top like five anime that have come out so far in 2023. I would say like between that, Vinland Saga season 2, Oshinoko, Cyberpunk. Did that come out this year? Or was that last year?
I think Cyberpunk came out last year.
I think.
Yeah.
Last year. Okay. So those are like my top three picks in terms of like best anime that I've watched that has like come out this year. But Frieren is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's a straight fantasy. It's very, if you're into Lord of the Rings, it's very Tolkien-esque in what it presents. The music particularly is very reminiscent of sounds that you would hear in the movies, whether it be Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. So I highly recommend checking that out. There's an episode that happened recently that was just so good that I don't want to really go into too much detail about because I don't want to spoil, but it shit hits the fan. Other than that, it's just been work stuff, and that's about it. Mainly getting ready for the holiday coming up next week already.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what has been up in your realm in the last week?
Yeah, still playing lots of Starfield, to be honest with you. Really been having a great time with that. Finished the Rangers quest line, which was really cool. Really fun there. Trying to think. Outside of that, old school RuneScape, of course.
Nice.
Because there's a special mode they release, like, I would say, like, once every 2 years. It's called Leagues. And you get, like, like crazy experience rates for RuneScape, right? Like, I'm talking 3, 5, 8 times the normal experience, and they like change how the game works like overall. As well. So that released today, so I've been playing that like because I can like totally AFK that while I work, which is pretty cool.
That is nice.
Yeah. Outside of that, I have still been playing some Overwatch. They just reworked old Roadhog. I don't like
Did
it.
They?
Yeah,
oh, I don't like it. You don't like it.
Nope. I don't know what the hell they're doing there, but I respect them. Whatever. You want to try it, I'm all for it. But yeah, that's it for me, really.
Your words don't match your support.
Well, yeah, they're like, trying it good, something. I don't like it. Other people like it, but I'm like, it's not what I would want.
Wow.
You know, over the last week, over the last week, I've been really like doing some deep dives into like quite a few things here and there, and looking at mostly people's reception towards gaming, animes, film, everything of the sort. And you know what I have come across?
What?
Most people's perception of things is entirely incorrect and entirely created based off how they feel at the moment.
I mean,
that's
pretty obvious, I would say.
It, even though I hate how a lot of people put their feelings as fact. Like, I went to go see this past Sunday, I went to use my hashtag MoviePass to attend the theater to go see the most recent Marvel film, The Marvels, right?
Yeah, The Marvels.
And one of the first things that I saw before I went to go see is, oh, this movie is going to bomb. This movie is atrocious. This movie is not worth your time. The MCU has lost their entire, they don't know what they're doing anymore. And I went into this theater with zero expectations. And I'm willing to admit, I will be the first to admit that when I first saw the trailer for The Marvels earlier this year, I literally said to myself, I said, this looks bad. This is not going to be good. However,
you're like, because you kind of waved it.
Yeah, I waved it off. Plus, I have MoviePass. So, like, I didn't pay for the film. And so I was like, you know what? I have a free Sunday. Let me go check out this Marvel movie just so I can stay current. Which also, by the way, as I'm walking into the Marvels, I realized I have walked into every single Marvel film in theaters except for anything having to do with Ant-Man. I have never seen an Ant-Man film.
Really?
I do not know why.
That's odd, because actually the Ant-Man films, with the exception of the newest one, what was it called?
Something.
Yeah.
Apparently nobody else watched
something.
It.
Something with quantum in it. Anyway, other than that one, the Ant-Man films are pretty good. I like Paul Rudd. I think he's a pretty good actor. And they're just really comedic and unique in their take on his powers and everything.
See, I don't know. I think for me, it may have to do something with Paul Rudd, because Paul Rudd to me seems like a really nice guy. He also seems like one hell of an actor.
He is an extremely nice guy.
But I want to see him in TV. Nice. I want to see him on a TV series. I don't want to see him in film. I don't need to see him leading a major action movie. And I think it has to do with Paul Rudd. I have never seen an Ant-Man movie. Maybe in December I'll start rewatching the Ant-Man films. But anywho, back to the Marvels. So I walked into this film with zero expectations. Here's how low my expectations were. They were so low, I walked in after doing an edible. I was just like, Maybe that's why you like the movie. Well, I'll tell you right now, I did an edible to see the most recent Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, and I thought it was trash. That is what it was. So I was just like, even if the Marvels was pretty bad. It was janky, it was disjointed. I thought it was fine. I did not think that it should sit in the top 15 of best Marvel films, and that's saying a lot.
No.
But I basically said to myself, I'm like, even if this movie is not good, I will still have fun because I'm going to be sitting here on an edible for 2 hours. And you know what?
Exactly.
I'm going probably against the grain of a lot of people. I think The Marvels is probably going to rank in the top 10 best Marvel superhero films. I actually...
That's extremely high. That's very high praise.
Yeah, I won't put it in the top 5, but I'm going to put it in the top 10, and here's why. I thought all the actors on screen had great chemistry. I thought that every one of the Marvels, because you have Professor Marvel, Captain Marvel, and Miss Marvel, they had great on-screen chemistry. The film was not 3 hours long, even though it could have been longer. The writing of this film was excellent. I don't care what anybody says. Whoever wrote this movie knew exactly what they were doing. There were several times.
Okay.
I, there were several times where I actually laughed out loud, and I went with a friend of mine, and I actually laughed, and I stopped, and I said, I don't care what anybody says. That right there was a very well-wrote joke, because I did not expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so if I'm going to give it an uninformed gamer score, I'm going to give it a 4 uninformed gamers out of 5. Only because,
only reason I'm getting
a 4 out of 5 is because the film was kind of short, it only had like one hour or 130 minute runtime. Probably not even that. I think it actually had less time than that.
Wow, that is short.
Yeah, for a Marvel film. It might even have been like 110.
Mm-hmm.
Because the film was short, there was some loose ends that never got tied up that bothered me as I was walking out the film. However, I think, because this is right now is the lowest watched Marvel film of all time. People did not go to the theaters to see this.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And there could be reasons as to why. Go ahead, speak on it, Chris.
That statistic is... So, I don't like that statistic because a lot of those movies... Like, what's happened is a lot of people don't go to the theaters anymore. So, no. Like, if you try and compare this movie to the ones that, like, to, like, the original, like, Marvel movies... Yeah, it's not going to go that well because different. Mm. Yeah, it's a different era, you know, for media like that. So I don't know. I hate that statistic. I just don't like it.
That's a fair take.
I get exactly what you're saying, and you have a point. Like we can't like movies still do make $1 billion. You look at Barbie. You look at Top Gun Maverick. Films are still making $1 billion, but they are the exception of the rule. They are not the standard. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely hate the one of the things people said is, oh, it's the people aren't going to see this one. Yeah, because people just aren't going to theaters. Like it won the box office weekend by the box office weekend, by the way. It still made millions and millions of dollars. But the fact that it was the lowest grossing doesn't really say a whole lot to the film. But I will say there's a couple reasons as to why people didn't go see it. One, the biggest one, Marvel movie burnout. There's just too many Marvel films. A lot of burnout. Too many Marvel
Too much to keep track of. Plus 100%. TV.
Well, to watch the Marvels.
I am lost in that universe.
Yeah, you and me both, Chris. I haven't. The last thing I watched in regards to like Marvel was what Spider-Man, was it?
Would it have been?
No. Was it Spider-Man? I haven't even watched the animated Spider-Man films.
Wow, you need to like, watch to be, those. Like, to be ASAP. Real.
I really do because I know they're a triumph. In terms of animation and storytelling, I'm trying to think what it was that I saw last. I honestly can't think of it off the top of my head.
Oh, well, that's fair.
The last thing I
got into was Endgame.
Oh, then it's been a while for you.
Yeah,
like we're in an entirely different.
I mean, I saw Multiverse of Madness. I saw the Ring one, the Legend of the Ring or whatever.
Yeah, Kang.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah. We're the uninformed gamers in this big room right now.
Yeah.
I heard Shang-Chi. I'm like, what? Yeah.
We are the uninformed gamers.
Shang-Sung.
Not Shang-Sung.
Your soul is mine.
Called Shang Li. It's Shang Li, by the way. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah, I saw that. And I liked that. I thought that was good.
It was good. Yeah, I didn't see that. I'm fucking deep back.
I'm behind, though.
Well, here's the problem with the Marvels. Okay? Because you both have just agreed that you guys are kind of behind. So for you, for the Marvels to make sense, you would have to have seen the original Captain Marvel. You would have had to have seen WandaVision.
I enjoyed WandaVision. It was really good.
I did as well. Yep. And then you would have to see the TV series Miss Marvel as well for any of this to make sense.
I did not see that.
Yep. So you have to watch three different things before you can watch this one film. So obviously Marvel Burnout.
Which is kind of annoying.
A little bit. But yeah. my friend who I went with, who did not tell me this until after we walked out, he said he had not seen any of the other ones, but he still enjoyed the film.
Oh, really?
He said he was able to understand it. And I was like, okay, great. So you have that. Then you have good enough. You have the writer's strike, which prevented this movie from being marketed the way it should have been marketed. And then, I hate to say it, you have a movie that has three female leads. Whether you like it or not,
yep.
That is a problem for quite a lot of people who go see superhero movies. But I will say, if you are a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you have to watch The Marvels because their end credit sequence launches you into the next phase perfectly.
Oh.
I don't want to give a spoiler because you need to go ahead and watch the film. Yeah. However, you'll need to stay until the mid-credits. And once you watch the mid-credits scene, I guarantee you two are going to be cheering at the mid-credits scene.
Okay.
So, really? Okay. Go ahead.
100%. And I would not say that unless it was actually
unless you
something.
Meant it.
Yes, unless I actually meant it.
Well, so I'll give it a shot. Is it on any streaming service yet? Is it on Disney Plus?
The Marvels?
Yes.
No, go to the theater and watch it, Mason.
All right.
You go re-download your movie pass and go
I'm debating on re-signing up for it because I've been going to the movies a lot this year.
Yeah, the reason I have the movie pass is because, like, on Tuesdays, the movies are the cheapest, so I'll just go on Tuesdays, and I get to see all the movies that I want to see because there's not a whole lot of movies coming out, so it kind of works out perfectly.
That's good.
But besides the Marvels, I finally finished a game on my backlog. I am so excited to tell you guys.
What game did you finish?
I can finally delete it out of my list. The game that I finished was Coffee Talk Episode 2, Butterflies and Hibiscus. Yeah. Not any of my 100-hour games, so don't get that part twisted. It was only 15 hours. I thought it was a lot of fun. A great little indie game, even for people who don't like video games. I think that Coffee Talk Episode 2 is a great game that I would recommend to quite a lot of people. Been working my way through Forza Motorsport, which has been consuming all of my time outside of the one TV show that I have been rewatching so I can get to the finale, and that is Attack on Titan. And boy, will I have to say this. This show...
What do you have to say so far?
Okay, so this again is going against the grain. This show, I have so many problems with just how this show is structured, how the decision-making in the show is done. It's just a hard show to, like, root for most people in the show. Like, the main character, Aaron, is probably one of the worst wrote characters that I have ever seen.
Agreed.
He is an absolute... Mason, I don't like that you did that.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but Devin, oof.
Don't, no.
He's something.
Anywho. Yes, and I've three and a half seasons into this, I am like, boy, I just don't like you. This show should have been about me. What is the girl's name? Mikasa? Okay, yeah, Mason.
Mikasa.
I think the show should have been centered around her, which, as I'm watching more and more episodes, I'm like, she's the much better written character. It just, and I told
Chris, she is a very good character.
Fantastic.
She is. I need her to be in Mortal Kombat. Like, she can murk a lot of people.
I honestly, but I, yeah, yeah. Her, either her or Levi.
Levi
especially. Levi is a goat. He is the goat.
He's between like him, Mikasa, and Erwin. My favorite characters.
Erwin's an absolute
G. Hell, even like
Commander
Armin to an extent. Yeah, Hanj.
Hanj is epic.
Hanj is awesome. Great character.
She is so eccentric, and I love that aspect about her nature, because she's obsessed with Titans, and she's so unhinged.
Oh God! You just like don't know what she's gonna do.
She's a loose cannon. She's a loose cannon. I like that about her. But yeah, to kind of like piggyback on you, Devin, most of the other characters surrounding Eren are much more developed. They're much more round. Eren is he's that kind of angsty teenager who's angry at the world, and he's that kind of like an edgelord, if you will.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, bro, just stick to the plan. What are you doing? Here is one of the problems, and I told Chris over this when we were having dinner this past weekend. So Mason, do you remember when they have to like go to Wall, I think it was Wall Maria, and they had to fill the hole in the wall?
Mm-hmm.
And they went ahead and they hopped on their horses, and they hopped on their horses, they went through the fields, they got their entire team murdered because there were so many Titans everywhere. You remember this?
Yep. Yes.
Why didn't they just climb on the wall and just walk around the wall, because they know Titans can't climb the wall? Chris was just like, because they needed plot.
Listen, they don't got plot armor, bro.
They don't. Well, actually, they do have plot armor. Here's their plot armor. Because, like, you'll start a new episode, and then you'll see characters who apparently have been in the show the entire time that you've never seen until right now, and I'll literally be like, they're about to get murdered, 100%. They're getting murdered this episode. I have never seen this character before.
who's next on the chopping block?
The guy just showed up.
Oh, go ahead.
A guy showed up with red hair, and he's a part of the team. I'm like, oh, you're 100% about to die. You're 100% about to die.
Yeah, take your bets. Take your bets.
Chris, what were you about to say?
I actually really like that show. Because I don't care like what about their decision making.
It's an anime at the end of the day. You don't want to take it like too seriously.
But they're I actually really liked the writer's writing in that show, because it's just kind of like it's kind of all over the place. Because the show was so separated, he was on hiatus writing this thing for so long, and then we finally get back, get some sweet animation, and then gone again for 2-3 years. Good luck remembering what happened. So like he forced you want to rewatch it, because you're like so invested in how that season ended. Because you're like, dude, I have no idea what the hell's going on. But then it all comes together at the end, which is
I'm only watching the show for the payoff. There's gonna be a payoff.
There is a payoff. I will say that. Yes. But the mangaka was an Isayama, I believe that's his name or last name. There's a rhyme and a reason for how he writes the story. like how it is. Yeah. And that'll become abundantly clear to you, Devin and Chris, you know, when you get to the final season.
Yeah,
I'm almost
which,
there.
Which part of the final season?
Yeah, right. The whole thing.
Okay. Also upset.
Okay. The whole okay.
Thing. Cool. All right. So that's one thing that I hate about Attack on Titan is how they handled the final season, because they segmented it into parts. You know, Attack on Titan, the final season, part one. Attack on Titan, final season, part two.
Yeah.
Attack on season, part three, and then there's Attack on season, the final season, like. Part no it was Attack on Titan the final season the final
oh my god hell? Oh my god, I'm so and over it.
It's just like, so like these naming conventions give me like post-traumatic stress disorder over fucking like Kingdom Hearts, because Kingdom Hearts was notorious for their name, but it was like Kingdom Hearts
1.5 final birth mix, to sleep
two. One point, yeah, I'm just like, bros, like, you don't need to overcomplicate it.
Well, you're telling me you didn't play all the mobile games, watch the movie, the anime?
I consumed every single piece of Kingdom Hearts game, with the exception of mobile.
And see, you're better, Mason, you're way better than I. I just went to YouTube and was like, what happened in all the other Kingdom Hearts games?
And like the fucking DS game is called Kingdom Hearts
Dream Drop?
No, not Dream Drop. It's Kingdom Hearts 358 the other one, divided Chris. By 2 days. And I'm just like, God. I'm like, God damn it.
But you bought it,
Jesus Christ!
But
you bought it.
You're damn right. We did.
I didn't buy it. I played it.
Oh, okay. This guy. Do not let anybody hear you say that. Your lawyers are coming after you.
Hey, redacted.
All right. So
redacted.
Let's go ahead and let's get into our main topic of the day. And guys, it is finally that time of the year. It is time for the Video Game Awards. Are you guys excited? Are you guys happy? Woo! Year went by so quick. The year went by way too quick.
It honestly really did. Excuse me. I feel like it just felt like it was a Halloween, and now all of a sudden, you know, next week is Thanksgiving.
Right.
True story.
But yeah, this year has gone by very quick.
So let's go ahead.
I agree. Before we fully get into this topic, big thing of all Game Awards. This is all some panels, opinions. People play your games, enjoy what you enjoy. Don't let this panel sway you into believing this is the game of the year for you, because we are going to have strong feelings that we do not agree with a lot of the games on this list.
And we are going to have some hot takes.
We're just going to, I'm going to go ahead and say this now. This is going to be a trigger warning for some people, because we're probably going to disagree with some of these nominees, and you probably are as well.
Yeah.
And I know Chris is 100% going to disagree with this list when it comes to Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and let's get into Game of the Year nominees. Now, the category is for the category itself is for what game was considered the best game of the year. There are six different games, and here are the games. The first one being Alan Wake 2. Oh, go ahead, Mason.
Mm-hmm. Which just came out.
Just came out. The second one being...
The description of the category is, it recognizes a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields.
Okay. So with that being said, we have Alan Wake 2, we have by Remedy Entertainment and Epic Games Publishing. We have Baldur's Gate 3 by Larian Studios. We have Marvel's Spider-Man 2 by Insomniac Games. We have the Resident Evil 4 remake by Capcom. We have Super Mario Brothers Wonder by Nintendo. And we have The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom by Nintendo. Now, what did we not say was a part of that category? So
there's quite a few noticeable snubs, and there is at least one, two, three. No, actually, hold on. There's four games included in this category that are subject to recency bias.
Yes,
absolutely.
I agree. 100%.
So I'm going to get this out of the way right now. I do agree that Baldur's Gate should be in this category. And I voted for it as game of the year. I do think it deserves it. However, asterisk, it does suffer from recency bias, technically.
Yeah.
Because it did just come out not that long ago. Same with Alan Wake 2, same with Marvel Spider-Man 2, and same with Super Mario Brothers Wonder. All four of these games came out very recently, and I feel like we missed out on some very, very good games that came out earlier in the year that got snubbed. And I feel, and I think you two will agree with me, possibly you viewers won't, the remake of Resident Evil and Super Mario Brothers Wonder do not deserve to be on this nomination.
I 100% agree. Absolutely. 100%. There's no way. There is no world where I would have put Super Mario Bros. On a game of the year. Like, it's so Mario is always going to be Mario, right?
Yes.
He doesn't reinvent the wheel. Sure. Nope. He every now and then will do some cool things, but like, for the most part, you kind of know what you're getting. Like, he doesn't, like, it doesn't change much from the formula, right? So like, why is he on this list?
Like, I agree with his nomination in a different category.
For sure.
And we'll get into that later. And then with Resident Evil 4, it's a part of my language, but it's a fucking remake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, why? Because didn't, why is that? Like, didn't Resident, like, if I recall correctly, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Resident Evil 4 originally win Game of the Year when it came out the first time? What, 14 years ago?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it did. While you're talking, I'll look that up.
So my problem is that I'm not going to argue and say that Resident Evil 4 remake was not a good game. I'm not arguing that. What I am arguing is, does this game deserve to be the contender for Game of the Year? And I think the answer to that question is no. And I 100% agree with your assessment for the Mario Brothers game as well. It just because it has a Mario name attached to it does not mean you automatically needs to be Game of the Year. Those two games can absolutely drop out. And I'm even going to throw in... What?
It won Game of the Year in 2005.
Oh, okay. So it was 19 years ago.
Holy fuck.
Ago. Okay, so I was right. So here's also
that's you guys, funny.
For this next comment, you guys might actually disagree with me. But I also don't think Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom should be Game of the Year contender either. And the reason why
I will disagree with you on that.
You can disagree, and here's my reasoning. This was a sequel that did not have as high of an impact as the game that came before it. They utilized the same resources, they utilized the same map.
Breath of the Wild.
Yes, Breath of the Wild. This was did not have nearly the impact as Breath of the Wild did. They utilized, it's basically running on the same engine. It is basically, to me, just a large expansion, if not a full dedicated sequel. I do not think that this one should have also been included in Game of the Year when other games were absolutely dropped. And the only games that were included in Game of the Year, which is also a problem for me, were AAA games. When is an indie game going to make Game of the Year?
Yeah, So on that note, I do think, and it was nominated for other categories, Hi-Fi Rush should have been nominated, honestly.
I 100% agree. That game was amazing.
It really kind of shocked the video game sphere in how good it was and how unique and creative that it was. It offered, according to this category, I mean, it offered an absolute amazing experience. It was creative. And on a technical aspect, it was also pretty up there.
It was flawless and bug-free.
Yeah, so I think that should have been nominated for sure. Hogwarts Legacy was extremely popular, and it took the world by storm when that came out. And I think the reason why it wasn't nominated was because of the controversy with J.K. Rowling. So the Game Awards probably wanted to avoid that, which is why it wasn't nominated.
But problem is this. Problem with that is we fully understand the controversy. But did the game come out? It did. Did the game make a boatload of money? It absolutely did. Did it come out on every single console? It's now out on Switch. It absolutely did. I think that you can absolutely drop Resident Evil 4 and replace it with Hogwarts Legacy. I'm not going to talk about the planet-sized elephant in the room, which is Starfield not being even looked at for this category. Chris, how do you feel? Because you've been playing it a lot. Do you think Starfield should have been nominated and drop one of the other three games?
Yeah, without a doubt. So, like, all right. So what happened with Starfield is Starfield used an old engine, right? It's like you can tell that the engine's getting older. They needed to, they maybe should have used something a little bit different or went into looking into upgrading what they currently have. But they didn't. But it's fine. Like, I still love the visual fidelity that I'm getting when I play the game. I love the storytelling, the quests, the dialogue. It's all freaking amazing. It's actually mind-blowing that it wasn't not nominated. Like, basically every time a Bethesda releases a game, it's basically freaking nominated. Like, all the Fallouts, I'm pretty sure, have probably gotten nominated. All the Skyrim, Elder Scroll games, so it's just like, this isn't terribly different. Like, so it's different in the aspect of like you're doing like a lot of space exploration. It's just it's more open in that aspect, but like I don't know, it has everything that I'd be looking for in an adventure game. I don't really know. I don't know why it wouldn't be nominated.
Well, when I was looking into this to see specifically what were people's thoughts on Starfield missing, I came across almost universally the same response. One, there was nothing to do in the game, which I thought was untrue. Two, the game has no level of
straight up lie.
Agreed. Two, the game has no level of exploration. Three, the game was too buggy to play. Also untrue. The game was too buggy to play, and it would crash every time somebody would start it. And I'm sitting there, I'm reading this, 100%. I'm sitting there, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, did we play the same game? Because I will tell you, probably the most fun I've had gaming this year, believe it or not, did not come from Forza Motorsport. It did not come from Cyberpunk. It definitely did not come from Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It came from Starfield, and it was the little tiny moments when I was in a base by myself with a gun. I had my headset on, and I was just trying to work my way through it. I don't know how many enemies there are. I know nothing else, but I had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say that Starfield was perfect, and neither will you. Neither will either of you. But I absolutely do think it's got an awful map. Like, they need to fix that.
A lack of a map.
Lack of a map. But I will say that I do believe you should replace Resident Evil 4 with Hogwarts Legacy, and you absolutely should drop Super Mario Bros. Wonder and at least nominate Starfield. You don't have to vote for Starfield, but you do have to nominate it. Because as Chris just pointed out, the Fallout games and the Elder Scrolls games have all been nominated. This one is exactly the same as those other games, but there is one thing, one little thing that separates this one from the other ones. And what was that?
Microsoft.
Exclusive and honestly, to if we're being real, Xbox.
If we're going to nominate games for the Nintendo Switch, I would say the two that come to mind would be either, well, I do think Legend of Zelda deserves to be there, so I think we keep that one, and then replace Super Mario Wonder with either Octopath Traveler 2 or Pikmin 4.
No,
I would say those two games are much better nominations.
I agree. I think that this category this year is going to be tainted. And I really do feel bad for Alan Wake 2, because I feel like Alan Wake 2 is going to get a very short end of the stick this year. Because
it is
nominated. It is a tremendous game. But are people actually going ahead and playing Alan Wake 2? Are they actually going to vote for that over Baldur's Gate? And I think the answer to that question is no. I don't think Alan Wake...
No.
This was not a fair category.
And honestly, and a lot of these nominations are going to be bleeding into other categories that we will be discussing. So a lot of our comments will be carrying over. But with that being said, I will go off on a limb, and it's not so much a limb, but I do think that Baldur's Gate is going to sweep these awards, because it swept the Golden Joystick Awards. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not.
Yeah, I did hear about that, actually.
I don't think it's going to sweep every award. No,
it's not going to like win every category, obviously, but I do think in terms of the most winningest game, I think it'll walk away with the most wins for sure, because if I'm not 100%. Mistaken, it was nominated the most.
The Baldur's Gate 3 and Alan Wake 2 were nominated, I want to say, 8 times.
Yeah.
I think
Baldur's Gate does deserve a lot of awards that it will be getting 100%. I do think it will win Game of the Year for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's the strongest game out of all of those games listed in that category, in my humble opinion.
I will hopefully be playing Baldur's Gate next month, but again, my backlog is so long, I don't know if I'm going to get to it. A part of me almost voted for Alan Wake 2, only because I know how good of a game the Alan Wake series is. And I think it's a game.
Sure.
And just like the original Alan Wake, not a lot of people are going to play it. And I think Alan Wake is going to be a surprise hit for a lot of people, but they will never give it a chance for whatever which reasons.
I'm definitely going to play it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let's go to our next category. Mason, can you bring us our next category, which is Best Game Direction?
Yes.
What is that and who are our nominees?
So Best Game Direction is awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. And we have 5 nominees instead of 6, all of which were in Game of the Year. We've got Alan Wake 2, Bladder's Gate, little joke there, Marvel Spider-Man, Super Mario Bros., and Zelda. So, yeah, game direction, I would give this either to Alan Wake 2 or Baldur's Gate.
I think I voted for Alan Wake 2 in this category. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, what's
because the Alan Wake 2 categories?
Yeah, it's I don't even understand the deal with that would be, but yeah, I'd probably vote for one of the two. I would probably lean toward Baldur's Gate personally.
Yeah, because when we're talking about this, is very similar to Game of the Year and how it's worded, because the previous category was worded with the creative vision in mind and excellent performance and all that shit. When I hear direction, I think, you know, how the game functions on a narrative level and if it flows like seamlessly. And I do think out of these nominees, Alan Wake 2 and Baldur's Gate are the best contenders. There could be an argument for Spider-Man in terms of fluidity, but I don't think it reaches that level.
Fair.
All right, fair enough. So again, this is one I probably would probably agree with, because again, I don't like this category because it's kind of vague in my opinion. But let's move on to the next one. Chris, bring us the next category, which is best adaptation.
Yeah, we've got Castlevania Nocturne, which is the powerhouse animation Netflix show. We've got Gran Turismo, Sony Pictures, Last of Us, PlayStation Productions, and HBO. The Super Mario Bros. Movie, Illumination, Nintendo, and Universal Pictures. Twisted Metal, which is PlayStation Productions, and Peacock.
So when you guys voted,
this winner is going to be pretty obvious in my opinion.
Same, Mason.
I'm not going to say what I voted for yet because I want to see what Chris says. But yeah, because I'm not what curious. Before I say anything, what did you vote for, Chris?
I actually didn't vote because it wasn't letting me sign in.
Okay. All right. Well,
but what I would vote for.
Yeah, what would you vote for?
I actually might do Twisted Metal.
Interesting.
Did you watch it?
It would be that or Castlevania.
Did you watch Twisted Metal?
No, but it looked like my jam. No.
Watch Twisted Metal, Chris. It's on my list. You might enjoy it. It's short. Mason, you and I voted for Last of Us.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why did you? Last of Us.
I didn't watch it. I haven't even played the game, so
I haven't even played the game, but I watched it and it was very good.
Nice, I played the game and I watched the show. The show, fantastic, hands down. Loved the show. Thought the show was absolutely perfect to what the game was. I wanted to vote for Gran Turismo, but even I was just like, this didn't really adapt.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo.
No. And honestly, when we're talking about adaptation from a video game,
I live true to its words. Like
And The Last of Us follows the game pretty closely, from what I understand. These other movies and shows don't really follow the game, especially like Mario. It uses the characters.
Yeah.
And that's it. And same with Castlevania. I'm a Castlevania simp. I love Castlevania. But it doesn't follow like the game super closely. It uses the characters and ideas from the game and then weaves its own awesome story. Same with Twisted Metal, I'm sure, is they use the characters and ideas, but they don't really follow the concept of the game too well.
See, if the Super Mario Brothers movie somehow manages to win this category, I will never vote, and I will never watch this series ever again. Like, if the Mario Brothers gets the best adaptation, I'm going to be so disappointed.
And honestly, if I'm going to be real, my gut reaction is I think the Super Mario Brothers movie will win, because it was the most commercially successful out of all of these.
Well, The Last of Us, you can't really say because it was a TV series, whereas the other ones were, except for Castlevania, the other ones were like films. So I get what you're saying, but I don't know. I think The Last of Us, the TV show, had such a positive reception because it was an HBO show. HBO, when it releases shows, not every show HBO releases is a 10 out of 10, but I would be willing to put The Last of Us in that 10 out of 10 category. So I would go
it's definitely a 10 out of 10 show.
Absolutely. You guys need to watch it. Or Chris, you need to watch it and you'll vote for it. So the very next category is best narrative. And Mason, do you have what the best narrative? What does that mean?
Yes. So this is for outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. And our nominees are Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate again, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, and that's the DLC that came out. We've got Final Fantasy 16 and Spider-Man 2.
All right. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. I actually voted. I did not vote for Baldur's Gate 3 in this one. And the only reason I did not, even though it is nothing more than a narrative game, the only reason I did not is I gave this one to Alan Wake 2 because I haven't played Alan Wake 1-2 yet. But I remember the narrative storytelling in Alan Wake 1 was just so perfect that I can still to this day remember how great the storytelling and the narrative was in Alan Wake 1 that I voted for Alan Wake 2 because I did hear that the narrative of this game was perfect. So I voted for Alan Wake 2 in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
I voted for Baldur's Gate. But with that being said, I do think the second place would be surprisingly Final Fantasy 16. I haven't played it, but I hear the story of that is pretty good, actually.
Nice.
That's what I've heard anyway from people that have played it. They've said that the story is kind of reminiscent of like a Game of Thrones sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I played the 10-hour demo, so I got an opportunity to actually play Final Fantasy 16. And
yeah,
it's good. But at the same time, it was a story that I felt like we've seen 1,000 times over.
Yeah. It wasn't unique.
No, that's a great way to put it. It was not unique enough for me to vote for it in this category. No.
I gotcha.
Well, since Chris, you didn't vote.
Interesting.
We're going to move on to the next one.
Yeah, just go on. I have opinions on the next one, though.
All right. What do we got for the next one?
The next category is our best art direction. This one's pretty self-explanatory. So our nominees are Alan Wake 2, Ooh. Hi-Fi Rush, Lies of P by Round 8 Studios, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of Kingdom. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
This one was kind of tough.
Yeah.
Was it tough, though? Because I gave this one this one a Hi-Fi.
So I did as well, but I was honestly at a toss-up between Hi-Fi Rush and Lies of P.
Yeah, that's where I'm sitting, too. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because the art direction, for both games are absolutely amazing, but they're so different. Like, Lies of P has that steampunk / what's it called? H.P. Lovecraft mixed with fucking steampunk, whereas Hi-Fi Rush is that high fidelity, cel-shaded. Yep. And it's so different and unique, but I would say at the end of the day, Hi-Fi was the more creative.
Yes, I agree.
But that was why I was conflicted.
So my question to both of you is why would you guys not consider Super Mario Bros. Wonder? Like, why would you not vote for that?
It's considering the same fucking thing.
Mario looks the exact same every year. We know what we're getting.
Like that game, in terms of the art, is not super unique or creative. It's just using the assets that we've seen since the inception of Mario.
Yep.
Like, absolutely. What else can they do? if we want to talk about art direction with Mario, the most artistically creative Mario game was probably Paper Mario.
Facts.
100%.
Honestly. Like, that was so unique, and it was such a different style.
So, we'll move on to our next category, but would you guys like to jump around now? Because we're getting into some categories that really are more subjective. And the category I would love to jump to is Best Performance. Now, if I recall correctly, I don't know if it was last year or the year prior, but when it was Resident Evil Village, I think it was Lady Dimitrescu or whatever, she won this category.
Yeah, yep. So, Dimitrescu, which was deserved, honestly.
100%. So in this category of Best Performance, basically which actor had the best performance in a video game, we have Ben Starr from Final Fantasy 16. We have Cameron Mungan from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We have Idris Elba from Cyberpunk 2077, the DLC Phantom Liberty. We have Melanie Liburd from Alan Wake 2. We have Neil Newborn from Baldur's Gate 3. And we have Yuri Lowenthal from Marvel Spider-Man 2. I thought this one was obvious, but you guys might disagree. I gave this one to Idris for Phantom Liberty.
Mm-hmm. I figured Same. You would.
Yep.
I was conflicted on this one as well. I was between Idris and Neil for his performance for Asterion in Baldur's Gate. How he portrays that character is absolutely goated. Very, very well done on his part. And Idris is Idris. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor. Absolutely amazing in his craft. So I was very conflicted, but I ended up voting for Neil because he's not a professional AAA A-lister like Idris. I thought he deserved a spotlight rather than Idris.
That's fair. It was very fair.
I can see that. So
that was my rationale because Idris is a very well-known Hollywood actor.
So let's
the one
again,
category we're gonna... that I actually wanted.
Yeah, that's the
what
category.
I was going to say is the one category that I wanted to focus on and kind of jump to, if y'all are good with that, is the innovation in accessibility.
Okay. Yeah.
Honestly. Because over the years, more and more companies have gotten better about being inclusive with their games, especially with people and disabilities. And the nominees for this are Diablo 4, Forza Motorsport, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Mortal Kombat 1, and Street Fighter 6. So this ability goes to a game and studio that recognizes software and hardware that pushes the medium forward to help games to be enjoyed by a wider audience.
Yeah. I haven't played a ton of games on this list. I played Hi-Fi Rush, and what's funny is I use the accessibility setting because I'm just terrible with rhythm games.
Yeah, with rhythm.
It's just so hard. So I can totally attest to that one. The other ones, I'm just not familiar with how they work.
The one that I voted for, I was between Hi-Fi Rush and Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
I haven't played Street Fighter 6, but I know of the accessibility features in it. Same with Hi-Fi. Like, you can actually be deaf and play Hi-Fi Rush and succeed, which sounds counterintuitive because it's a rhythm game. Yeah. But they have made it possible for people who suffer with hearing impairment to play that game and still get the same relatively same experience. And then with Street Fighter 6, They have a feature in it that allows people who are blind to actually play the game by using sound to notify the user where they are, what's going on, and how to function. Like there's a player who's actually a professional esports gamer who finds a lot of success with Street Fighter VI, and he's blind, and he whoops ass. Like
that's incredible.
Like he's a really, really awesome story. I think his username is like Blind Sven, I believe. Yeah. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. But yeah, he plays Street Fighter, and in number six, he was just regaling a lot of interviewers with the accessibility features. I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. Go you, Capcom.
See, out of all the games here, I only have experience with just Forza Motorsport. So that's the one I gave this to, because one thing I will say is the Forza series has actually been very good when it comes to accessibility, not only in just making it easy to play for if you are disabled, but also showing representation if you are disabled. Like I remember that in Forza Horizon, that you can actually have a character that doesn't have an arm or like has a prosthetic. So I gave this category to Forza Motorsport only because in the past they have been very good with that. But because we're running out of time, let's just do four more categories. And the next category I personally would like to touch on is best community support.
That's a good one.
Controversial one.
Oh yeah, and I vote for. Yes, give me the description of best community support.
Best community support. There you are. All right, so best community support. All right, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, responsiveness, inclusiveness of social media activity and game updates / patches.
I vote for the same category every year. Yeah, but let's do the nominees. Ooh. But I'm going to tell you right now, I vote for the same game every year.
I think I know what you voted for. We got Baldur's Gate, Cyberpunk, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 16, and No Man's Sky.
I voted for No Man's Sky.
I'm going to... Oh, okay. I wouldn't have guessed that, actually.
I vote for it every year.
I had a feeling. I wasn't sure.
I was going to say, in terms of community support, I was between Cyberpunk and Baldur's Gate.
Okay. No, those are good votes. Yeah.
The big reason why Cyberpunk is because they released a broken game, and they have come a long way by trying to make it right with the community, and I think they've accomplished that.
Yeah, I agree.
In this category, Chris, who would you vote for?
Man, I would probably do Cyberpunk, to be honest.
Okay,
that's good.
Just a total revive. Yeah, I would probably do them. There was a lot of controversy with this one, and I'm going to take the next category. There's a lot of controversy with this category because of Destiny 2 being on it. So
why?
If you guys weren't aware, a few days before this came out, let's say a week before this these nominations list came out, Destiny did like a mass layoff, and I guess a lot of people on their social media team were affected by the layoffs. Sad enough. So everyone was like, well, why the hell are they on this list? So, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, I can see. Yeah.
Well, I can actually see why, because, Severance Package, they got a lot of community support. It's unfortunate.
I don't think they got one.
Oop, then they should not be on this list.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they got that.
Yeah. But
apparently they missed like target by 45%.
Oh. Can I say I think there's a game missing from this category? And the game
Community support.
I think there's a major game missing from this category. And I think it's, again, it has to do because it's an Xbox game.
What Chris, what game?
Chris plays this game. It's a pirate game.
Oh.
Sea of Thieves? Yeah. Without a doubt.
Why is Sea of Thieves not on this category? Like, if it does still release stuff for Sea of Thieves. Like, they just released a major Monkey Island update. See,
and it's, you know, all what?
I'm
free.
I'm surprised that this is going to be a kind of a jab, but I'm kind of surprised as well. Grand Theft Auto 5 online.
You can't, because it would be in this category every year. It would be in this category every year for like the last 10 years.
I mean,
you can't do that.
But
that's cheating.
No.
Oh God. No.
All right, we have to jump. We have to absolutely jump down. We have to
jump down. What category did you want to focus on, Chris?
Yes. All right. Sorry, Devin. I got to take this one. So,
no, I know where you're going. The
indie one?
No, that's not the one I thought you were going to take. All right. I'll take the one I thought you were going to take next.
Okay.
So, best debut indie game. All right. So, we've got.
Best debut.
Yes. Let me make sure I've got this right.
Yeah, best debut indie game. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
There's a lot of these that I have no idea.
Yeah.
The only game I'm familiar with on this list is Dredge.
Why does my list look different?
See.
Huh. Okay, this list looks different for some reason. I'm gonna go to their actual site.
No worries. See, I'm familiar.
They must have took it off. They took it off.
Took what off?
There was a game on here that shouldn't have been on here, and that's what I wanted to talk about.
Are you talking about best independent game?
Yes. Sorry, that one. My bad. I'm going for that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I got them mixed up. Yeah,
so I'm an idiot. It's not best debut indie game. It's the best indie game.
Yes,
best independent. All right,
so Cocoon. Yes. So Cocoon's one of them. Dave the Diver, Dredge, Sea of Stars, and Viewfinder. So personally, on this list, I would vote Sea of Stars.
Yes, I 100% would vote, and I did vote for Sea of Stars. It's an amazing game.
So the reason this is super controversial, so indie typically means like
an independent studio.
Yes, independent. They have no big wig making the bills, you know. They're just a small group, right? So a game on there, Dave the Diver, is on there when it shouldn't be, because it's actually a subsidiary of Nexon.
Ah,
I heard about this.
So it's just like, what?
Hello. Somebody didn't do their research.
No.
Well, I guess I can kind of see why, because it's a subsidiary. It's not actually, but in my iPop, I personally wouldn't have put it in there. But for this category, I actually voted for Dredge, because I did love the look of Dredge, and I also like the visual aspects of Viewfinder. So that was a hard category for me to vote in, but I ended up giving that to Dredge. Yeah.
Awesome.
Can I do the category, Chris, that I thought you were going to do?
Yeah, go ahead.
Best RPG, because this was the only category where Starfield was nominated. And
we've got to give it to Starfield, right?
Baldur's Gate is what's going to win, like, but you have to give it to Starfield.
Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate.
Mason, what did you vote for?
I voted for Baldur's Gate.
Mason, what are you doing? This guy.
He's got Baldur's bias.
I got Baldur's Gate bias, all right?
You're the problem, so man. It's you. You are the problem.
I'm not going to lie. Honestly, before I did vote for Baldur's Gate, I was debating on Lies of P or Sea of Stars because they're pure pure RPGs.
Yeah.
But Starfield, even though Starfield isn't,
yeah, it's a pure RPG.
I liked those three games, I guess, more.
That's fair.
How much time did you spend in Starfield again?
About 5 hours now.
Oh, okay, so you've upped it from 2. Got it.
I have played it more.
All right, Mason,
it's a good game. It's a good game.
If it's only nominated in this one category, you have to vote for it.
It does. Like, it deserves to be voted for or to be in other categories for sure.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Agreed. So Mason, go ahead and give us the final category for our video game awards. Ooh.
All right. I will shift it and let's go to another like of the year award. We will go for content creator. How about that?
I am really disappointed that we weren't nominated. Like, I'm very disappointed in that. Like, this
mistakes
is bullshit.
Were made. So content creator of the year is for a streamer or content creator who has made an important / positive impact on the community in 2023. We have 5 nominees. We have the VTuber Iron Mouse. We've got People Make Games. We've got Quack City. We've got this guy named Spren and this other guy named Sphere PK. So out of all of these people, I've heard of 2 of them.
You're better than I haven't heard of a single one of them.
I agree with Chris. I have not heard of a single one of these people. I guess I don't know who any of these people are.
I've heard of the People Make Games, and I've heard of the virtual YouTuber / content creator Iron Mouse. But other than that, I don't know who anybody else is.
Fair. So fair.
But like, all right, so I understand this is the content creator of the year award. I fully get that. I fully understand it. But at the same time, how I feel like most people who are voting in these categories are unfamiliar with probably half of the options. Like, I'm not saying people don't know who these people are. That's obviously not true. But I don't like this category because one, usually it's a very biased category in my opinion. Because people are just going to vote.
It's a popular.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest. And generally, this might give me a lot of hate, and I don't care. I've dealt with it already. Generally, it's going to be a white male. That's who it's going to be nominated. That's who is nominated. And I think when I chose this category, I voted against whoever was not a white male is who I voted for. Sorry. Sorry, I don't care. It's a real thing and it's a real problem. I am sick and tired of every content creator of the year always being a white male. No. I understand. I get it that people only want to watch white people. Sorry, Mason, no offense, but if this podcast was nominated, they would nominate you. They wouldn't nominate Chris and I. Content creator of the year, well, Mason, Rogers Review.
No. So, no, you guys would deserve it more than I.
Absolutely not. You absolutely deserve to be nominated.
No, not at all. I actually I haven't uploaded a video on my YouTube channel in a while.
Oh man.
I need to remedy that. I don't know, I've just been lazy, honestly.
Yeah, fair.
That's fair.
Sam. Just procrastination is a son of a bitch.
So true.
Ain't like that the truth?
I'll look at my analytics real quick.
No worries.
Let's see, when was my last video posted? In March.
Jesus Christ, Mason. That's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want us to,
I get it.
Chris and I, we can play Exoprima with you and you can upload that.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're dying.
All right. All right, guys, so there are plenty more categories that are available. If you guys would like to see which categories are available, or if you would like to go and vote, go to the, what is it, Video Game Awards 2023? Is that what the website, what's the website, guys?
The website is thegameawards.com.
All right, yep, be sure to vote. And Chris, you be sure to sign in and vote.
The show takes place on December the 7th.
All right. So hopefully hopefully all of you guys get an opportunity to vote. Vote for your favorites. Do not go with popularity. Go with what you want to win. That is the whole
point of it. Go with your gut.
Go against the grain.
Yes, Baldur's Gate 3 is supposed to sweep, but you know what? Go ahead and vote for Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Don't let us stop you.
Please don't do that. if anything that's been said, don't do that.
if you could take anything away from this, don't vote for Mario.
Also, food for thought as well. Under the rules of this award show, fans, us who are voting, only account for 10% of how winners are selected.
That is so stupid.
We make no difference. Why did we vote?
Yeah.
So the jury, which consists of 100 people across the industry, account for 90%.
That's not how gaming works. Never mind. We gotta go. Let's get off.
Wait, we gotta call it.
I'm mad. Get us off the show.
All right, I got you guys.
I'm sorry,
guys. Thanks, Mason, for that. Way to close out on a bombshell.
I ruined it.
All right. Thank you all for joining us for another installment of the Uninformed Gamers. If you like what we do here on the podcast, be sure to give us a like and a subscribe. And if you are also mad about the information that Mason just provided to us, let us know in the comments. Feel free to tweet us on X at Uninformed Gamers, or I'll probably be most likely posting this video on our TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. If you wish to play with me directly, you can reach out to me on Xbox at Darkness Tiger and on PlayStation 5 at Darkness Tiger 2. All right, guys, go ahead and give your sign-offs.
Yeah, I've been Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games.
And I have been Mason from Rad Dreams Reviews and Rad_Dreams on Twitch.
All right. Thank you, guys. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Okay. That's creepy.
My kitty.